It's never entered into our hearts, into our minds, what it's really going to be like. But we do know it's going to be a nice place. Amen. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight, if you will. I want to have prayer for Brother Terry Stockton going through a battle that makes him feel very weak. So we want to pray for our brother tonight. Also a friend, June Roberts, 78 years old, with breast cancer, taking chemo. So they're asking that we would remember those needs tonight. Sister Brenda Thompson wants to offer this testimony. I want to update all of you who have been praying for me, and thank you very much. I recently found out that I had melanoma cancer. I thank God for His mercy to me. They were able to remove it all through two surgeries. I was told that I was very lucky, but I know it was God keeping me. I thank you for sparing me any further suffering and stopping the devil's attempt to harm me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Jerry Glenn says to please remember a co-worker's husband who will be having surgery on Thursday. Also continue to pray for Donald Moore, who had a quadruple bypass surgery. He's in the Johnson City Medical Center, so we certainly want to remember those needs tonight. Now, this is an update on Sister Natalie Yance as of 5 o'clock this evening. Sister Natalie's platelets are very low on oxygen, blood sugar, very low. They're 33. She's also in much pain, swollen liver. She will be in the hospital for a few more days. She desires short visits and much prayer. Franklin Woods Hospital, room 2009. So remember that. Let's pray for our sister that the Lord would just have His perfect will in her life. Judy Abraham sends this in. My very good friend June Brisbane O'Connor's mother is very ill with cancer in Trinidad, and I'd like for the church to pray for God's will in her life and strength for my friend June. So we want to remember that need tonight. We want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He's in the rehab center in Kingsport. The doctors are trying to help him gain weight and get his strength back. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Eugene that the Lord would be mindful of him. Want to please pray for Jacob Weeb. I hope I got that name right. He is very weak in body. But the biggest concern that I have is that God will have mercy on him and save his soul. Thank you, and may God bless Brother Abraham Weeb. So we want to remember those needs tonight as we pray. Brother Reese wants us to remember a lady in Kingsport by the name of Linda. Her cancer has spread and is in stage 4. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight also. And I believe Brother Jim Maxwell was injured and maybe he's going to be facing surgery. I don't have a note on that, but I just heard that he had been in a little, some kind of an accident with a rototiller and had injured his leg and was going to be facing maybe some surgery and whatever. So we want to pray for our brother tonight that the Lord would be mindful of him. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Brother Harry sings another verse of that song. Let's sing the chorus. How beautiful heaven must be. Somebody say praise the Lord.
The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords on their gold harps.
Oh yes.
Brother Gene, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord. Certainly good to see you folks back in the house of the Lord. Sister Lehman, doing better. Praise the Lord for that.
God bless you,
baby. Satan's not quit. He's still doing his job. But let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, as we approach you, we want to invite you into this service tonight, God, and we want you to take first place in our lives, in our heart tonight, God. And Lord, we pray that you'll come and be among us tonight, Father. And Lord, that we'll be able, God, to get into you, God, just like you want to get into us tonight, Lord, so that we can co-inspire, God, together, Lord. And I believe that, God, that you can have works done here, God, because that's exactly what you're wanting to do out of us, Lord. You're wanting to see, God, us to be manifested, God, in this hour, Father. We know, God, that without you, there'd be no way, God, that we could go anywhere. But God, with you, all things are possible. I know that Satan would try to afflict us. He would try to get us to doubt. He would try to get us to say many things, God. But Lord, tonight we know that you're still God and you never fail. You're on the throne, God, and one day Satan will be over, his works will be over, God, and we won't have to go through nothing of this pain and sorrow that we go through, Father. Lord, we got people that are sick, Lord, Sister Natalie laying in a hospital, God, with cancer, God, but Lord, you're God. If you want to say the word, Father, she could come out instantly, Lord. God, you could touch Brother Maxwell tonight, God. Lord, I know he's got a terrible thing, God, getting his leg tore up, but Father, you're still a healer, Lord. God, me and the wife just went through two terrible things, God, but Lord, you're still God. We still haven't lost faith in you, Father, because we know you live and you exist and you are God and there's none other besides you, Lord. So tonight we just ask that you'll come and take these requests, Father. that I hold in my hand, God, and I pray that each one of them, God, will take, attract your attention, God, that you'll, God, that you'll look at them, Father, and you'll say, yes, those are my children, and I've come to heal them, I've come to set them free, Father. So tonight we ask that every hand that was raised, God, there's people here I know that's sitting in this building probably are sick or have some kind of a problem, God, but you're God. May you come down tonight, God. May you bless this service. May the word of God prick our hearts tonight, Lord, and may it bring us just a little bit closer, God, to a body change. Well, it's what we're looking for. We want to be out of here, God. It's time to go home. So help us, God. Lead us, guide us. We give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, Father.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless them. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Let's sing a little bit of that tonight, if you will.
Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, rain down.
greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Can somebody say praise the Lord tonight? There's no one greater than Jesus. We got a lot of folks that really are important people as far as in the eyes of the world. But I'm going to tell you something. They ain't nobody can come up with Jesus. Ain't nobody can do what Jesus has done. Is that right? Amen. Let's sing about it tonight if you will. I was so bound up.
I was so bound up. My life was so tied up.
Oh, we were.
No peace within. Chains could not hold me.
Oh, sir.
Confused, so lonely. So shackled with sin.
Hallelujah.
Then at noonday, when the sun was burning down.
Yes.
I'm sorry, mister.
It's all right.
Well, as Brother Joel would say, boo dip.
I was so bound up.
Yes, sir.
My life was so tied up.
We just get to hear you sing a little bit more.
No peace within. Chains could not hold me.
Say it, buddy.
Confused, so lonely. So shackled with sin.
Who's that coming, brother?
Who is that coming?
Lord Jesus.
From the other side.
Who is that man?
His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. No peace within.
Oh, Jesus.
I was the talk of conversation. My multiple relations, so shackled with sin.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Then at noonday.
Yes, Lord.
The sun was burning down.
Yes, Lord.
With my face from embarrassment, for my lifestyle so bound. There was Messiah sitting on the well. My story unwound. He began to tell. I've forgiven you.
Jesus,
no, there's no one,
no
Jesus. There's no trial, there's no devil greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Everybody say, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Wonderful he is. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for Jesus? His mercy. These are his words. How many puts value on what he said?
Amen.
Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your great word. It is so precious to our hearts. We thank you, dear God, for the privilege that we have of gathering together again here, Lord, under the auspices of the presence of God. If it was not for your grace, the sign out there could read Happy Valley Church of Christ, or Happy Valley Pentecostal, or Happy Valley Methodist, or Nazarene, or whatever more. But we're grateful, Lord, that we've not gathered here under the control, oh, Lord Jesus, of a denomination. We are thankful that we're sitting here tonight under the revealed word of this hour, a message that is preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Lord, by your word in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again tonight from this scripture on being prepared for his coming. We'd like to go to Titus chapter 1 verse 4, if you would, and pick up what we looked at last Wednesday night, the value of a real God called steward or servant, the position that God gives a man of God. And the Lord Jesus, knowing the great need of such, not only in the last day, but in the day that he himself was here starting in the new age, going for thousands of years that would blend into the end time. So he himself could have chosen so many different avenues by which the body would be ministered to. He could have chose governors. He could have chose presidents. He could have chose emperors. He could have chose boards, a board for this, a board for that, a board for something else. He could have done it however he would want it to done it. Matter of fact, Brother Bem said he could have made the sun preach the gospel, or the stars preach the gospel. But instead, he chose the poorest creature that he had on the earth. A man. Right. Now you realize a man is even in less position than would be an animal. Because an animal doesn't have a soul. So the animal wouldn't rebel against God the way a man would. But yet God chose man. So this is God's own choice. Aren't you glad he chose man? God chose man to be saved by too. So in doing this, then God knew that there would have to be guidelines. There would have to be things that he would set up by which these men would be qualified. They must be called. They must be chosen by God. But they must also have certain qualifications. And they will meet those qualifications. And if they don't, then by God's view and his word, then God says they strictly cannot be able to be caretakers of his flock. Those that would be called to watch over his assembly. Now watch, as Paul writes to Titus, he said, "To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." Now remember, this is the apostolic foundation by which the church is being called. This is Jesus' own way reflected through the apostles. And the church said,
amen.
Now watch this. So then God is going to call men. It's not that he has anything against women, but women will not preach. Women will not be set up to be the bishops or the overseers of the church. They can be able to do various things in the body. But yet he ordained women to be what? Wives, and to be mothers, and to be sisters, and they can even teach the younger sisters how to love their husbands and how to do certain things. But he never ordained one woman to preach. Now you'll find women in the prayer line that Brother Branham called out and said, "You're a woman preacher. That's thus saith the Lord." God hasn't changed his mind about his word, but God's only telling her what she is. She ain't got no divine approval. Come on, the word says she ain't supposed to preach.
Amen.
But yes, she's got a thus saith the Lord, says she's supposed to. But it's identifying what she is, not that she comes from the word. So here goes Titus now being called of God to do this. And he says, Paul tells him that he's supposed to set up that which is wanting. And he's supposed to set up elders in every city. And these elders must have certain requirements. If any, be blameless, the husband of one wife. So for those men today who are homosexuals that want to be gay and want to be preachers, they would not meet the requirement of the Bible. For you cannot be the husband of one husband. Uh-oh, here we go. I found it amazing after our president come out and said he supported that it was okay for gay marriage. You know, I was reading just a few days and a week afterwards. I mean, the black preachers, Pentecostals, Baptists, different ones of them. And even though our president said what he did, they said they was going to stand with him. Stand with him. Now you think, so really what matters the most is race. Or your political party. What a man stands for don't matter a bit more than nothing. You find that in churches too, message churches. Right. Well, glory, here we go. What's the matter with people? Where's people's standards of what's right and wrong? It don't matter no more, folks. It don't matter what's right and wrong. It matters of what pleases folks' flesh. You're going to get in trouble, Brother Donnie, so what's new about that? I'm going to tell the truth if I have to stand out in my garden and tell it, but there ain't nobody there but Carol. Now, notice this. It's not only rules out homosexuals. It also rules out double married preachers. How can a double married preacher stand in the pulpit and be blameless and tell people not to have two wives when they themselves have one? Now, is there mercy for people who've been divorced and remarried and all that? Certainly there is. But if you'll follow through on marriage and divorce, for those of you who have been there and done that, Brother Branham tells you what to tell your children. Don't tell your children that they can do what you did. If you'll follow marriage and divorce, Brother Branham tells you to tell your children, don't do that. It's amazing, though, the message folks that are in that situation, they will tell their children they can. You're doing the exact opposite of what the prophet told you to tell them. Well, hallelujah. You scripture say, what's this got to do with being ready for the come of the Lord? Apparently it has a lot to do with it. Now, what's this? He must be blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be. A bishop must be. A bishop must be. This is not options now. This is not a possibility. And if the church wants it, he must be. A bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Now, not only his marriage right and his children right, but his own makeup right. Now, you may think I'm crazy and nuts, but you know, God, as Brother Bram told us in Question and Answers, that God will work with a man in the way that he's made him. So when a man claims he's called to do a certain thing, Brother Bram said he watched the man's makeup. Because God will work with that man in the way that he's made him. Now, watch how Paul, Brother Bram is perfectly scriptural, when he said that, watch how Paul says that a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. So you find a man that is claiming to be a pastor, he claims he's called to be a pastor, and yet that pastor is self-willed. He's stuck on everything he wants to do, that's the way it's going to be done. That man's not qualified to be a pastor. Well, glory to God. It's contrary to the word. Now, this is the natural birth. Well, you say, what's that got to do with his call? Because God will work with a man the way that he's made. Right. A bishop, he says, must be blameless, not self-willed. Now, you'll notice in reading this then that a bishop and an elder in apostolic terms is exactly the same man. An elder is not one thing and a bishop another. Actually, I'm the elder of this church, but I'm also the bishop of this church. Right? Right? For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. Now, remember, the steward was one appointed over a household or a family to be able to delegate, regulate the things that go on in the home. And, you know, it must have been a very great position for a man to be in there. And as long as the man kept the right mentality and was able to do it right, serve that master well, no doubt he could be there for many, many years. And yet it was not a position that was voted on by the servants. It was not a position that was even voted on by the rest of the household or the children. It was a position that was placed by the master of the house himself. And no doubt they wouldn't agree with every decision that the man made and things that the man did. But yet, unless it was something that was reproachable in the eyes of the master, then their complaints against the man was not legitimate enough to remove the man from this place. Because the master looked at the credibility of the man holding the position. And not against the complainers, which you always have them and always will have them. So this man is to be one who is put over the food. He's to be put over the regulation of the way that activities were to be done. He's to be put over, even though he may not understand how the horses are to be taken care of and the mules and the donkeys and this and that, yet he's the overseer over all of these types of business in the home. So this is what he's called to be. Now this word that Paul said that the bishop or the elder is not to be self-willed, the word signifies one that is pleased with himself and has an overbearing opinion of himself, is proud and haughty and despises others. So then a man might be a really good preacher. He might be a really good man. He might have really good capability as far as being able to really counsel people and all of that. But still, if the man is self-willed, he's not qualified to be a God-called pastor. Lord have mercy, if I didn't know better, I'd thank all y'all's pastors. Why y'all doing crumping them toes up in them shoes? I mean, this ain't preaching to you all, it's preaching to me. Why y'all getting quiet for? Now notice, he's not to be self-willed. Look at another characteristic now of this bishop. Not to be self-willed and not soon angry. What in the world's that got to do with being a preacher? Huh? What's that got to do with being a pastor of a church? Not being soon angry. Of course, this was written in the first century, and it don't apply to none of you dear little darlings, because all of y'all are so sweet and honest to goodness, I just don't know how any man would ever want to not pastor you all. You're so flawless and perfect, and I'm lying through my teeth. Now, why would this be a requirement for a pastor not to be soon angry? Because if there's anybody that'll make you mad, it's church people. If there's anybody that can be immature, childish, and plumb outright stupid, it's church people. So a man that's a pastor who has a short fuse and has a gun safe is not safe. Even if he's just got butcher knives, he probably ain't safe. Now, a man might really be called of God, but a man and a church. Listen to me, friends. If I get killed going home tonight after church, if the Lord moves me somewhere else, or something happens that one day I'm gone from here, hopefully you'll not forget these services. So you will know what to look for in a pastor. If I was to die tonight, would you all know what to look for by the word? Or would politics go to moving among you? Democrats and Republicans and independents and whatever more. Or would you know by the word what to look for in a God called pastor? Oh, this man can preach so good. Oh, but how long is his fuse? Is he self-willed? Come on now. Now this is very, very important thing, because this is the man who's mainly going to feed you. Now evangelists will come in and you'll be able to click on this website and get things from this man and that man and that man. But really that pastor is the one who sets the tenor for real growth in God. Oh my. So he's not to be self-willed, not to be soon angry. He's got to be tempered in the right way to where he's slow to wrath. What does that do? It shows a man of understanding. Because a man is quick on the trigger, whether he's a preacher or just a lay person, he lacks understanding. He does not have control over his own spirit. Am I at the right place? I thought that. This said Happy Valley. Oh my. One who is irritable. This word here that Paul used. Who is apt to be inflamed over every opposition. One who doesn't have proper control over his own spirit. Now you wonder how many men are in pulpits that are called pastors, that these two requirements right here would knock them out. And this is put in the same canon of scripture as a man who has more than one wife. But why is it that we would let a high-tempered man be our pastor when we wouldn't sit under a man that's double married? And both of them are wrong. Of course, I figure if you're high-tempered, you'd probably want a high-tempered man so he'd make excuse for your shortcomings. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. Now listen to this. You're talking about miraculous to me. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So a preacher is a steward of the grace of God? A preacher has to do with giving out grace? Lord have mercy. Look at this word manifold. Diverse. Various colors. Variegated. Of various sorts. So then a minister, a God-called man, my Lord, is
is a steward not only of the mysteries and not only of preaching and not only of the tithes and the offerings and what goes on in the church and all of that, but he's actually a steward over the variegated avenues of grace. To where you might look at a situation and you judge a matter and say, there's no grace for that person. But yet a minister being called by God and having access into a realm according to the scripture that others might not quite understand. And he would look at it variegated. Why? It's different. Those of you that raise plants, you know what something variegated is. You take a hosta, you know if it's a southern hosta, different kinds of hosta that are green or the lime green or the dark green, and you take certain plants and they're variegated. What does it mean, Brother Jim? It means they've got more than one color. Well, here the diversity of the grace of God, sometimes the grace of God, it's very hard to understand and comprehend. It's hard to understand, does this person deserve grace and this one don't? And this, let me tell you something, I've said in my office many a time, with my mind made up, you know, dealing with a certain situation, when I talk to this person, I think they've stepped across, I think they this, that, and the other, and then walk in there and sit down, and all of a sudden something move over into another realm that's totally beyond my understanding, totally beyond everything that I even thought, and I feel that presence come down. You know what it was? It was a manifold diversity of the grace of God. It blew my own mind because my mind was wrong. Oh my. Notice this. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, multiplied favors and advantages God bestows, and yet here ministers are stewards over not only the food, not only the order of the house of God, but the manifold graces of His mercy. Now watch, Jesus again in Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Now, is the pastor the only one that can feed a church? Absolutely not. And if you get to a place at this church that I'm the only preacher you want to hear, then either you or I or both have failed. God does not want you wrapped up in just one man, because that means you're only one preacher away from being a tape person. And all the devil has to do is come between you and that one man, and you're finished. Because you've already told everybody else out, I don't like this one, I don't like that one, I don't like that one, I don't like that one. And you've got it honed down that you can receive from one person alone, and then all Satan has to do is get something between you and that one, and you're finished. Praise the Lord. But yet, in reality, we know that God gives a shepherd special favor in the eyes of sheep. And a shepherd has a way about him that he can say things to sheep that another man stand right behind the pulpit and say the same words, and them sheep won't take it at all. They will not take it. They'll sit right there and look at him and shake their head if they ain't moving it. They're shaking it on the inside. And they will not take it. But a God called shepherd can stand up there and tear them limb from limb. And they'll cry and hug his neck after church if they can. Right? Because God gives him that favor. But is he the only one to feed him? No. But he's the one they'll feed from most. Now, are sheep, do they have the capability of eating at home? Yeah. You're supposed to read your Bible. You're supposed to listen to tapes. And you're supposed to feed at home. Now, occasionally Carol will go out with my daughters for lunch, or she'll be going out shopping or something or another, and I'm at home at lunchtime by myself. Of course, all of y'all know the great culinary artist that I am. So when it comes lunchtime, if I'm at the house, I go up and open the pantry door, see if there's any bread. And then I look in the refrigerator, Brother Dan, see if there's any sandwich meat or anything like that, where I can come up with some great work of art. And if there's not, then generally there's some peanuts or almonds or potato chips or something or another, so I'll get by, right? pressing that little plastic lid on that Pringles can, and I lift that thing up and roll it open and stick my tiny paw down in there and pull it out. You would not believe how I can do that. I mean, it's incredible. Watch me. Now, can I get by that day? I could. I could actually get by probably for a couple of days. Her and the girls went the last year to South Carolina. That's gone for a couple of days. Liz had me up for several meals. I was able to do it. But I'm going to tell you what. If I had to feed myself long term, y'all would be attending a funeral. There's no question about it because I cannot cook. It's something I've never really felt like that I needed to do because God gave me a wonderful cook. Now, but can I survive? I can. Can sheep feed on the word? They can. Can they listen to tapes? They can and should. But will they survive at home without a shepherd? They will not. Because they're not made to. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15. I love this. God says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And these words being used together like this are things that are worthy to be known and understood. It's not a bunch of rhetoric. It's not a bunch of genealogies or something that has absolutely no value to it. But I will give you pastors after my heart, and they will feed you with things which are worthy to be understood. They will give you things that will be spiritual sustenance that will help you. Now, does God call evangelists and these ministers? Sure he does. And we thank God for all of us. And we need them here at our church. Amen. We need visiting and evangelists. We need all these other ministers. And we thank God for it. Yes, but how would you like it if I called your favorite evangelist to preach to you for the next 5 years, three times a week at Happy Valley? And I never preached another sermon for 3 years. What about a teacher? Your favorite teacher? Or an apostle? How come the pastor can preach to the same people as many times as he does and they still want to hear him? It's a miracle. Because by now y'all know my mannerisms, you know my way of speech, you've got me memorized, you know which way I'm going to turn, you know all that already. Why do you come back? Because it ain't me. It is not that human part of my mistakes and my errors that your soul somehow is fed through the weakness and the frailty of humanity. Oh my. Notice this in Nehemiah chapter 8. I love this. Whenever Nehemiah and Ezra are sent back to Israel to start a revival, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was above all the people. Now they built him a pulpit, so he was above them. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered. You notice them. They weren't Laodicean and message people. They didn't nod. They said amen. Amen. Your nodding ain't scriptural. Glory. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I never even noticed that when I read that. Hallelujah. And all the people answered. What are they doing? Ezra said, blessed be the Lord, the great God. And the people answered, amen. My, this is church, ain't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. With lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads. And they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. He just took his text and they carried on like this, just taking his text. Now watch this in verse 7. Also, Joshua, Benai. I tell you what, friends, I'm not going to try to read all them dear brothers' names. Because I'll be worse than Brother Louis. There ain't no telling what I'd make them sound like. Let me skip down there. You can read them. If you can pronounce them. God bless you. Now, notice all these dear beloved brothers. The Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. Now notice what happens. Ezra's reading the word. The people are responding. And then the Levites go to moving among the people and giving understanding to the word. Why do you need to understand, thou shalt have no other gods before me? They didn't have 66 books. They didn't have 1100 tapes. Remember the Old Testament of the prophets, many of this was not even written. They only had a few books. Why did they need understanding? Just the way God set it up, ain't it? Notice this, the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. That's one good sign that you are finally growing up. When you can find your place and stay in it. It shows your understanding what this word is all about. Right? And notice they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. To make distinct, declare, distinguish, separate, clarify. Now notice, how come the people can do it? Because the people was not called to do it. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the... gave the sense, which means insight and understanding. They gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So it reminds me of the New Testament when the Ethiopian eunuch had been up to Jerusalem with all the great things up there worshiping and all the people carrying on. Oh my, the Spirit of God called Philip down and said, join yourself to the chariot. So the man's going down through that, just happens to be reading the message of the hour, but he don't know it. As a lamb, he was led to the slaughter, done before his shears opened not his mouth. He said, who's the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else? And Philip, led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Having the seed word, being a minister. Now Philip was not just a witness. Philip was not just a layperson. He was a God called minister. So Philip begins at that very same scripture. And he brings that scripture out of its obscure darkness in the Old Testament. And he makes that scripture flesh. That man was so convinced when they come up on a hole of water. He said, here's water. Where did he get that out of Isaiah? There wasn't nothing said in Isaiah about baptism. But that man gave sense to the word. So much sense. He said, here's water. What hinders me being baptized? He said, if you believe, you can. He said, I believe. Praise the Lord. So notice then the steward of God. Brother Bam says that this way in Revelation Book of Symbols, your pastor, when he stands you on the platform ministering the word, he's God's angel to the church. Messenger to the church. Therefore a pastor should never leave that word. But stay straight. What's the word? Amen. Put your finger at me and say, Brother Donnie, don't you never leave that word. Do it. Put your finger at me and tell me. A pastor should never leave that word, but stay straight with the word. Because he's feeding the shepherd's place. Because the word pastor means shepherd. Look it up and find out if it ain't. A pastor is a shepherd. And the Holy Ghost made him overseer over a certain flock to feed them. Amen. What with the word of God? It's not that flock to pray and read their Bible at home. They are. Are they not to listen to tapes at home? They are. Glory. But God set a pastor there for them to be able to make sense and bring into their understanding. I read this today. I didn't understand that. I read this. I didn't understand. A God called man will do that. Why, he's a steward. He's a steward. Now, you remember the parable in the New Testament Jesus gives us about the good Samaritan. the man that was going down to Jericho, which was a symbol of backsliding. And when he goes down there, he falls among thieves, and the thieves beat him and rob him and left him on the wayside while a Levite passed him by, a priestess at the other. Now you imagine now Jesus telling this parable to the Jews. They absolutely hated the Samaritans. And Jesus picked their highest class, the priest. The second highest class, the Levite. And they passed him by. And Jesus picked the lowest one you could just about name to a Jew. A Samaritan. Because right over Mount Gerizim, they had a temple almost identical to the one on Jerusalem. And they were half Jew and half Gentile. Their symbolism, their worship was almost identical to Israel. And they hated him. But Jesus chooses this symbol of the good Samaritan. You imagine them thinking, I ain't never known a good Samaritan. Kind of that message, folks, and I ain't never known a good preacher. If he's good now, he won't be good in 5 years from now. Now this guy comes by and he picks up the man, binds his wounds, ministers to him in his capacity, and he takes him down to an inn. He goes to the innkeeper. And he pays him. He said, I want you to watch for this man. Take care of him. Until the rapture. I mean, till I come back. Watch, Brother Branham, now. Let us see God. The good Samaritan has come by. Poured oil on the wound. But he's took you now, and he wants you to go to one of these inns. Now, over and over again, Brother Man uses this through the years of his ministry, and he likens the inns to churches. Glory. He wants you to go to one of these inns. You're the closest to you. He's done paid the pastor to take care of you. So he's paying. Now notice how God paid the pastor. He received the Holy Ghost. Got blessings of God and health and revelation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh my. So here the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus, brings this poor guy down and he stops at an inn. And he goes in to the innkeeper, the pastor of the inn. And he says, I am going to leave this man in your charge. I saved him, I've called him, but now he needs guidance. He needs further instruction. He's had all kinds of complexes, all kinds of fears. Oh Jesus, you take care of the complexes, you take care of the fears. And he says, no, you do it. If you'll notice, this innkeeper doesn't even have the option of turning this guy down. No sign on the door. We're full. We ain't got room for no more people with complexes. We ain't got no more room for troubled people. We ain't got all, we're full, packed out. But this man brings him there and he said, you take care of him. So he reaches down in his divine wallet and he pulls out the Holy Ghost, pulls out understanding, pulls out revelation, pulls out patience, pulls out all these things and gives to the innkeeper. He says, now you watch over him. Bring him to healing. He got hurt by preachers. He got hurt by this. He got hurt by that. Nurture him back to health. Show him in my word that I've still got God called me in. Show him in my word that he needs the word of the hour. Show him in my word you've got the ability because I paid you. Oh, hallelujah. Friends, don't you see why it's so important that people pray over the church they go to? I cannot help everybody. I don't have the ministry to. There's some people would come to this church, they would not work. It would not work at all because them and my gift would not be compatible. They would need to go somewhere else. They would need to go, you know, wherever God would lead them. We want at this church whoever God wants here. Right? Not just so much number-wise, but we want those that He... Notice this man was not going out, you know, and trying to find the sick, and he wasn't going out knocking on doors and looking for people to fill up his spiritual hospital, but it was the Samaritan that brought the man to him. Oh my. He's done paid the pastor to take care of you. So he's paid. He received the Holy Ghost, got blessings of God and health and revelation. And he can just feed your soul. So come now and join one of the churches. My eyes must be playing tricks on me because my paper here says it'll be the best thing you can do to keep your spirit fed. Now this is 1959. By now, Brother Branham has got hundreds and hundreds of tapes. And Brother Branham is encouraging people to go to an inn. I marvel how that the tape people who say what he said, but they don't say what he said on this quote. Of course they can't, can they? Aren't you glad you can? It'll be the best thing you can do to keep your spirit fed and moving on is what? Let the Holy Ghost lead you to an inn that has a godly caretaker there who will minister to you. Sometimes he'll spank you. Sometimes he'll swat you. Sometimes he'll rebuke you. Sometimes he may pick you up and snap your leg like a toothpick. Pop. Right? And other people look and say, he is so hateful. He's so mean. Oh, but a person with understanding said he loves that sheep so much. He broke its leg so he could be able to put it up close to him to be able to teach it what it needed to know. Oh, glory. Notice this now, the Pergamene church age. The hidden manna is a little something special. What is special? The blessings of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's not that it's for the whole congregation. But the hidden manna was a special revelation. Cause he had to teach the other see was a little more knowledge of the scripture that he could teach other. He's supposed to be. Is that right? He says. You'll never live no higher than your pastor. Now for those of you who think you are, you need to move. Because if you think you know better how to preach and run a church than I do, you definitely need to move. Because in your thinking, you're living higher than your pastor. Which is out of order. Some of you men would never let your wife do it, but you'll come to church and do it. And then you wonder why your family ain't in the order. How can it be when you ain't? Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Glory to God. Amen. Preach, I'm with you. How can your brothers expect your home to be in order whenever you're not in order? Oh my goodness. You'll never live no higher than your pastor. You just remember that because he's the shepherd that feeds you. You see, the sheep aren't called to feed me. Y'all are not called for me to come out there and say, all right, now Saturday night, Brother Dave's going to preach to me. And then Sunday morning, Sister Joy Holmquist, she's going to take a text and she's going to preach to me. And then next Wednesday night, Sister Naomi's going to preach to me. And then next Saturday night, these young sisters will give them their chance and all y'all going to get to preach to me. Now, I know a lot of y'all figure you could probably tell me a thing or two. And you probably could. But you're not called to feed me. It's the opposite. You're not called to break my leg. I'm called to break yours. You never find Brother Ben said the sheep's supposed to break the shepherd's leg. Lord have mercy. Somehow this ain't going the way I thought it would, sir. Now notice he's the shepherd that feeds you. If he's the shepherd, he's got to know where the manna is to feed the sheep. Now a little special. Now watch this just a minute. He said this revelation, this hidden manna. So the servant over the household of God is given a special insight to be able to go into the Word and to feed the flock. Now, is it going to just benefit him? Are they to make an idol out of him? Absolutely not. He's to maintain, and they are to maintain, the same attitude that he is also a slave. He is not a dictator. He is not a god. He is a slave serving other slaves. When are we ever going to get the understanding there's only one great one among us? And that's nobody I'm looking at. I love this. He says, sheep will only grow if you give them sheep food. Now, if you try to fry them up a big hamburger and give it to a sheep, he couldn't grow on that. What would be the problem with that? I mean, go down and get a sheep a Big Mac. Y'all like Big Macs? Wendy's singles? Hardy's cheeseburgers? Huh? You like steaks? Some of you used to eating higher on the cow? Okay, we'll go up a little higher. Well, how come a sheep wouldn't like that? Because he's not made that way. Now watch this. Very, very simple, but watch our brother in parallel says. He says, you see, that's not sheep food. If you fry him up or have a nice T-bone steak fixed up and give it over to a sheep, that's not sheep food. He just couldn't eat it. That's all, because he's a sheep. But sheep like sheep food. Well then, when you're to feed the flock of God, don't feed them on some man-made theology. Feed them on the Word. For there's where the sheep grow from. Feed the Word. Be a shepherd. A true shepherd. So this man, a servant over the household of God, he can spend many months of his ministry going to all kinds of series on Greek words, or spending so much time on trying to prove this and that and the other. And when it's all said and done, when I go through and study a series and I go to study a sermon, and then before I put it all together to preach it, I go down to the end of it and I ask myself this same question every time. And Donnie, when you've preached this, what benefit will it be to the people of God? Greek words is fine. Sometimes they're very enlightening. I like using them. But as far as I know, I'm not a Greek teacher. I don't see no Greek students. Right? Hebrew, Aramaic, all those things are good. They're fine. They're well and good. But that's not our focus. Our focus is not to be able to try to do a bunch of rigmarole and all that. I want to be ready myself for the rapture. I want you to be better Christians. I want us to have better homes, better marriages, more like Christ. And that's what we want. That's what I want. Oh my. Listen to this. 1961 in Richmond, Virginia. So many places in the Bible when they went up before the servants of the Lord to ask counsel. Well now, I want to ask you, what about you? When you get all messed up and troubled, don't you go to your pastor? Is that right? You should do it. If you get in trouble, you should go to your brother. You see, friend, this is another proof why Brother Branham cannot be people's pastor. Because they cannot go to him. And people who get in trouble and don't go to their pastor, they're not doing what Brother Branham said. I don't care how many tapes they listen to. They're listening, but they don't believe it. Tape folks can never do this, and they'll never be able to fully obey the Word. Well, don't get quiet on me now. Now notice, you should do it. If you get in trouble, you should go to your brother and tell him, say, brother, my wife and my children and everybody in the church and the people I work with, I said, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have did that. Oh my. I pray you to help me to pray through till I get over this thing. Or help me in my troubles. Isn't that the scriptural way to do it? Of course you realize the pastor can't help if you come and tell him what you want to hear. I always find it amazing. I can tell generally within about 5 to 7 minutes, sometimes 10, whether or not the Holy Ghost is going to help me when it comes to counsel. Because if their attitude is open and they're there ready, the Holy Ghost will connect. I don't know how to explain it to you other than this. It's like a channel on their end and one on mine. And their spirit is open and ready. And it's like a door just flies right open. And I'll watch the Holy Ghost and He goes to just pouring out of me like a river and a stream. But if their mind is made up, they don't want nothing. They'll sit right there. It's like a door slammed in my face. Sometimes for judgment's sake, He will anoint me over the top of their unbelief and it will be a witness against them. But most of the time, if they are not open, I'll stutter for words. I'll stammer for words. I'm trying to think of what to say. And you know what the problem is? Their attitude. Because they've come with their mind made up, but they don't want you to tell the truth. So they're blaming their faults on everybody else. Oh my Lord, y'all. Help me tonight, church. Instead of saying, God, help me, man of God, tell me the truth. Either that or they do all the talking and I can't even get a words in tallways. You know, I try to slide one. I say, Brother Donnie, glory to God, I secured an auction. Huh, glory to God, I raised man. I'll pay $5, soon $3. I'll say, well, brother, And by the time I do get a slide, I done forgot whatever else I was going to say. And they call that respect? Your prophet told you how to approach a man of God. Help me in my troubles. Isn't that the scriptural way? Well, that's because he's your pastor. He's your shepherd. He's the one that gives the food out to you to eat. And he knows how to feed his sheep. Didn't you enjoy Brother Paul this week? But you know what? Brother Paul don't know how to feed you folks the way I do. When I was up with Brother Paul a while back, they enjoyed the meetings, he said. I don't know how to feed his sheep the way he does. So I felt awkward. I felt, you know, a little bit new. I was kind of learning how to do it. It's the same with any man. But I want to say, thank God for you folks. Because every man that I talk to that stands behind this pulpit gives you some of the greatest compliments on how easy you are to preach to them. And how you help them. I thank you for that. That speaks complimentary of your understanding of the gifts of God. Now notice, here Brother Ram says he knows how to feed his sheep that God has. The Holy Spirit has made him overseer over the flock. Can you imagine this servant, this slave, being over the people, knowing this one has a finicky taste. He don't like broccoli. This one don't like asparagus. This one don't like lamb. This one don't like mashed potatoes. This one don't like boiled potatoes. This one don't like french fries. This one don't like potatoes au gratin. This one don't like Peter's nan. He's au gratin all over. And this one don't like this one. This one don't like that. And how that man sometimes had to make decisions and there's no way he can please everybody. Notice this, Brother Ben says, Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Now that's why I think we failed a lot, is feeding his sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. Today it's almost, shear my sheep. Get them into a place and take everything they've got. Make them pledge their home, all their old age pensions, and everything else, and talk about a shearing. Jesus never said that. Notice again, Brother Parker said this morning, God loves his people, he loves his sheep. He said, feed them. And sheep must have sheep food. He never said, educate my sheep. He said, feed them. Not educate them. Give them sheep food. And what is sheep food? The bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Gospel truth. preach it without compromising, you know, and you have to answer at the day of judgment for their souls. As a minister of the gospel, you can stand and say, that was what wrote in the word, feed them the truths. Feed my sheep. Amen. Notice. Oh my. Jesus says in Matthew 24:47, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. The reward for the servants of God, the innkeepers who have nurtured you to health, nurtured you to revelation, nurtured you when you were so bitter and you had such hard feelings, and somehow sitting under the right shepherd, you look back and you think, I'm not even the same person I was. As one of the people sitting here looking at me tonight told me several years ago when I first came here, they were so full of hate and so full of bitterness. But now that's gone. Oh, you taking credit for that, Brother Donnie? I most certainly am not. But I do know how to cook. Now don't come to my house for a hamburger or a steak, but I do know how to minister healing of broken spirits. I say that by the grace of God. And if I don't, then I need to sit down. I do know how, by God's grace, friends. Every God called man, I'm not going to back up on that and say, well, I don't know how. I do know how. I'm called by God to do so. Every God called man opens up his doctor's bag and he looks down inside there. There's an instrument for healing. There's an instrument for this. There's an instrument for that. If I'm not called to do that, I need to resign. But if the Lord Jesus has put me over the Happy Valley Inn, that I am called to minister to the sick. Now let's watch what can happen to a preacher. Matthew 24:48. Now this is really going to be a thing that men in the last days will have to watch. But and if that evil servant, look at the word evil now, of a bad nature. Now it doesn't say he can't preach, but he has a bad nature. Which inevitably, of course, means he ain't born again. But and if that evil servant, which is troublesome, injurious, pernicious, destructive, shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now watch. What this is an attitude by perception. Listen to these words. Attitude by perception. Because he perceives his Lord has delayed his coming. And it has affected his attitude. Because he looks around and he says, I've been preaching this for years. I've heard other people preach it for years. I don't believe we're no closer now than it was 20 years ago. So my Lord delays his coming. So then he adjusts his attitude accordingly. Preachers ain't the only one that do this either. Now watch what he will do. He shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the Laodiceans. The drunken. Now watch, something has happened in this preacher's mind. In his heart, from his nature, something has protruded, projected forth that he's no longer in that mentality that he is a slave. Watch him. His view of himself and of his Lord has changed. Now he views himself as one with authority who must be obeyed. And he demands this obedience, whether the word says it or not, whether the message teaches it or not. Come on now. So now he begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and he himself alters his own behavior, and he starts getting drunk. And now, notice, he's not now fellowshipping with the rest of the household of God. But he starts fellowshipping with the drunken. Oh my Lord. May God help us preachers. My. Now he is moving over into this position that his master has given him, into an abuse of his power. So he's no longer running the household by authority of a right attitude, but by authority of a warped perception. My Lord's gone. He took enough money. He's going to the Bahamas. He'll not be back for so many days. Man, I'm turning this place upside down till he gets back. I'm going to do this, that, and other. And I'll threaten them. They better not tell on me neither. Well, see, now he's moved beyond the mentality of just being a slave. He's there to serve those people, serve his master. Now he's a man of great power. He don't have no more power than what he did. But it's moved up here. Now his power has affected his thinking. You know, men do that. Not just preachers. Men will do that in their home. And they try to run a home by that, by threats, by power, by fussing, by screaming, by loud voices. Praise the Lord. Deacons try to run a church that way, or whoever more tries to run it. Friends, that's not the way God wants any of us to do. God does not want any of us to run the house of God in such a way. We must have authority. But this man's authority has now went up here and changed his mentality. Would a slave mentality beat fellow slaves? Would a slave mentality go out and get drunk? This is the mentality of one who thinks he can do it and get by. Praise the Lord. He has little or no faith in the speedy return of the Lord Jesus. So his behavior will become altered, and he will become more worldly minded. Building a bigger kingdom here instead of a bigger kingdom there. It will be more about what he can achieve and he can accomplish. Come on now. And he's no longer required to be humble and look down on himself. But now he can look at himself as he really is. No. He's a slave. But in his mind, he's risen above his position. Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he's not aware of. Can you imagine these denominational preachers who are preaching any old way to suit the people? Preaching to them the grace of God so called, and let the women live the way they want to live, and the men, and do whatever they want to do and make excuse for their sin, and preaching the rapture at the same time. And one day the Lord will come to them and say, you read in my word where they were to be baptized. You remember sitting in your study that Saturday morning, June the 27th, 1983, when your eyes fell on Acts 2:38 and real fast you turned it over. You remember that morning? Oh, no. Show it to him! And on God's great screen, there'll sit that pastor with that Bible in his lap. Him sitting there, the Spirit of God come over. Him turn the scripture. There it is as a witness against him. You read what I said, what I had Paul to say about the women doing this and the women doing that. You read in Genesis 1 where I made man, male and female. I brought the same thing down, and yet you endorse that homosexual agenda. What about some of the message preachers? Wonder what he'll say to some of them. Lord Jesus. Notice, so the servant is now not watching. Now remember the right attitude of the servant. He's waiting, he's watching, listening for the knock on the doors. The master will come. Every man is his post of duty. Now this chief steward is Eliezer, it's Joseph. The chief steward of the house, he must be standing near to dictate and tell, you go there, you get the horse, you do this, you do that. But instead, the master. It's not the footman's responsibility to open the door. It's not the kitchen maid's responsibility. The steward of the house is supposed to do it. But where is he? Out on a big drunk. Out committing adultery with one of the sisters of the church. So the master has to reach down and open the door himself and come in. I said, what's wrong with my house? Where's this preacher? Oh, he went off to get another degree. He's off further in his education. He's doing this, he's doing that. Oh God, help us, Lord. Children, don't you understand as laity how you ought to pray for the ministry like never before? Don't you see the potential that lays before the men of God around this message? Lord have mercy. Notice verse 51. And shall cut him asunder. I want you to listen what this is, and Jesus used this term. This was sometimes done by a sword, sometimes by a saw. It was practiced by the Chaldeans in Daniel 2:5, Daniel 3:29. It was practiced among the Hebrews, 2 Samuel 2:12-31, 1 Samuel 15:33, 1 Kings 3:25, Hebrews 11:37. Also practiced by the Egyptians and the Romans. So Jesus says, when I come, I will cut that preacher off. He wasn't even bribed, but he was at least placed over some of the foolish virgins or some of them that was dependent on him to give them a little sustenance. But he was out drunken on Laodicea, the cares of the world. And Jesus says, I personally will cut him in two. And shall cut him asunder. And appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Dear God, let's close with this thought. Brother Ram said he preached it years ago. Apparently it wasn't recorded. Disappointments at the judgment. He said it won't be the prostitute, won't be the drunk, but it'll be those who thought they were right. Can you imagine preachers? They'll stand before him and say, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I was a missionary in Africa for 30 years. I give my life. I gave up this. I went through that. I went up through that. And he'll turn and look at them. Now, they died deceived. And when they raise, they will still be deceived because death didn't change them. So when they entered into the chambers of death, they was deceived, thinking and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus, I'll meet you in your great heaven. How surprised they must have been when they didn't go into a theophany. But in that realm where those type of people go and they are held, and then they raise at the white throne, and they'll stand there thinking, some mistake was got to be. I was a Pentecostal preacher. Glory to God, I had the Holy Ghost for 40 years. I cast out devils, I raised the dead, I went fishing with a prophet of God. I played tapes every day of my life. But Jesus will look at them and say, I never knew you. There is no record of your name in my book. But I knew the prophet here. That doesn't matter. It might have gained you favor on the earth,
But here, unless I know you, you don't come in. Who you knew on earth has no relevance. It's who you know in heaven. I've often wondered and thought, what will it be like in the regions of the lost? For the preachers who are there for maybe thousands of years, and according to the amount of damage that they have done, their judgment will be rendered accordingly. Maybe a teenager that's lived 14, 15 years old, go out and get on a big drunk, car wreck, run through a tree, and they're killed. God will delegate the amount of punishment due to that 14-year-old person as they lived on the earth. But what about a preacher that knew the truth and damned thousands of people to the regions of the lost? Maybe burned for thousands of years, hundreds of years, who knows? Wonder how it'll be when they go through hell looking for them. And the people that sat under him said, "You deceiver, you liar. You preach wrong and you damned me here with you." Children, I'd rather make you mad at me now than us to be able to walk down streets of gold than for me to preach wrong or compromise and you look me in the face in hell and say, "Why didn't you tell me the truth?" If I have to preach so hard to you, Brother Jim, I love you, my friend, my brother. But if I've got to preach so hard you get so mad you think I ain't going back to hear him again, one day you'll put your arm around my neck and hug me and say, "Thank you. Thank you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can't you see, friend, why Satan so fights preachers? He knows true preachers are a major element in the rapture heading together. There will not be a rapture without true shepherds. So if he can't get true shepherds to get off into adultery or into sin or false doctrine, you know what he'll try to do? He'll try to get them with discouragement. Burnout. Satan never got Brother Branham with money, women, popularity. But he tried to get him with burnout. But the people that he preached to the most, they was the very ones. The very ones that Satan used against him. Oh, may God help us. I want you to pray for me. But I don't want you to just pray for me. I want you to pray for every servant of God. But they're not our concern. Yeah, they are our concern. Every true God-called man, whether they're a pastor, evangelist, teacher, every God-called man, man, we need them. And we need, as a body, to understand our relevance and our association with other members of this same mystical body. People that we have never met. Amen. You appreciate his word. Amen. Hallelujah. I know you pray for me, and I thank you for that. But please, don't forget to hold me up in prayer. That I can stay faithful and true. That I stay away from women, money, popularity. But I'll also have enough wisdom to not get burnout. That I won't study so much and preach so much. And I'll know how to not let the people pull me so much that I get to a spot that I'm uncaring. If I had just this church alone to deal with, it's plenty enough, believe me. But I'm contacted from people around the world almost every day, needing help, needing advice, needing counsel. Sometimes I think, "Lord, I can't take another day." But then from somewhere, I feel strength. And, you know, it wasn't so much maybe that I just got down and prayed, but maybe it was on your job. Or maybe one of your sisters, you're just making a cake or something, and all of a sudden, a burden dropped down in your heart to pray for me. And you just, there with flour all over your hands, just bowed your head. Lord, I don't know why, but I pray for Brother Don. Amen. And God was so moved by your prayer that he sent his presence down. It's like he lifted a little bit of burden off of me. I say, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, I know these services on this have not been pleasant, but I thank you for them. Lord God, I ask you to help me. Help me to be true. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Help me that my heart, my attitude will always be right. Help me, Jesus, that I'll never be like this servant that'll raise above the slave mentality. I don't understand it, Lord, but it seems that many of the men of the message, when they reach their older years, is when they mess up. I would rather tonight, if you saw somewhere down the road that something would happen to me, I'd rather you just take me tonight than somewhere I'd mess up. And a lot of them ain't messed up with the women or nothing like that. But they just become indifferent. Become selfish. And lose interest in the flock. Please help me, Jesus. Please. I pray for the rest of the ministers in our church. The rest of your God-called men around the world. That should help them. Please, Lord Jesus. Give us pastors after your heart. That'll feed us with knowledge and understanding. Things that are worth knowing. Things that'll help us to be better people. Help me, Lord, that, and you know my curious nature and my nature in study. If the people only knew me, if they knew in school I hated to read, wasn't that I couldn't. And I could have been valedictorian if I'd so desired. But I just didn't want to. I'd read whatever I had to read and get through it, pass my grades, made good grades. But it's amazing to me that you call me to study and read something that humanly I don't even like doing. And yet I'll sit and do a study with 3,000, 5,000, 9,000 quotes on one subject. It amazes me how you do that. Help me, Lord, that I always love your people and love your word and never allow my attitude to be that of a dictator, but remain as a slave. A slave. A slave in his proper mentality. I'll never beat the men servants and the maid servants. And never go out and get drunk with the drunken. But Lord, I pray not only for me, but for the people. I know, Lord, that as being sheep, there'll be many times they'll not understand decisions that I'll make. They'll disagree. They'll look at me and think I'm as wrong can be. And sometimes I probably will be. But I pray that you'd help them to pray for me, to ask your counsel. I pray that you'd help them, Lord, that they can find their position as a sheep and just be a good sheep.
that we can leave this world together. Help us, Lord God. Teach me how to feed them so they can eat themselves to a body change. Grant it, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands now in the presence of God? If Ezra read the law and the people were so blessed by reading the law and they were able to say amen and raise their hands and worshiped, what ought we to do now in the Holy Ghost dispensation? That law was going to pass away. But friends, let me tell you something. What we've heard tonight, oh my, this great city is going to prepare this gospel the Lord Jesus came, bled and died for. It will never pass away. It will lead us to a life eternal. Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you sheep always want to have a sheep nature? You always want to be fed. You want to be able to be led when you're wrong. Don't be stubborn. Don't be an old goat. Don't be hard-headed and stubborn. Come on, say amen with me. Amen. You want to be a sheep, you want to be led and be tutored and be natured. Amen. Is that what you want? That's your desire? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord. We want to be ready for your coming, Lord. Help them to read the Bibles. Help them to listen to tapes. Help them to realize, Lord, they need to come to the house of God and set under the God-called ministry of this day to give them the right light, the right sense, the right understanding to the time, to where they are. Oh, grant it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. Oh, come on, children, let's worship him just a little bit before we go. I'll let you go in just a minute. I know you got to work and all that, but let's just love him a little. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy, Father. Lord God, help me to be able to take care and tend all these sick ones that you brought by the end, Lord. Oh, Jesus, give me the ability. Their needs are so different one from the other. But you specialize in diverse, manifold variations of grace and power. Help me, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord, to be variegated, Lord God, in my delegation of grace and understanding and judgment. Help me, Father, I pray. Oh, grant it, Lord. Give me wisdom to know how to run the inn, oh, Father. Help us, I pray, Lord. Help us to be a church, Lord, that can minister to those that come in. Sure, we want to be a friendly church and we want to be an open church, but we don't want to open ourselves to every old devil and everything coming and going. Oh, God, give us wisdom, Lord. Help us, I pray, Father. Teach us, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, mighty God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we bless your holy name. You're worthy tonight, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing the song that Harry was singing as we came out. No one greater than Jesus. Now let's lift our hearts, our thoughts, our minds now beyond the pastor, beyond the prophet, beyond you as sheep, beyond deacons, trustees, all that. Let's lift our minds and our thoughts just for a few moments to the Lord Jesus, the one who made it possible. Praise the Lord. No matter what you're burdened and troubled with tonight, I don't want to point you to me or to any other preacher, but let me point you to him who has everything that you have need of. Let's sing it together. Sing it, eh? Let's worship him now. Don't just focus on your need, your problem, but focus on how big he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is.
I was so bound up.
Yes, Lord God.
My life was so tied up. I had no peace within. Chains could not hold me. Confused, so lonely. So shackled with sin. Who is that coming from the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you've had me bound so long, but my morning has broken. I'll sing victory song, 'cause there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus.
Of course, together. God bless you. Go in the field, God. I'll see you this weekend. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. How many can say that from all your heart? I know there's no one as powerful, as wonderful, as sweet, greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God.
Hated.
Hallelujah.
Rejected.
Yes, my
by
Lord.
My neighbors detested. No peace within.
No peace within.
I was the talk of conversation.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Then at noonday, as the sun was burning down,
oh, glory!
In my face from embarrassment, my lifestyle so given you some fairy tales.
bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Worship you.
Oh, bless your name, Lord God.
All my
Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I'm standing here before you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord God. Feed us at your table, Lord. Feed us at your table, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord God, with all of our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship your name, Lord. You're worthy, O God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in moments like these. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In moments like these, I sing out a song.
Let's sing it to him now.
I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like
moments like this,
I sing out a song.
Hallelujah.
I sing out a
Lamb of God.
To
Hallelujah. Everybody now. Glory.
Sing out.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you.
when we've heard the voice of God speak, there's something within me that wants to love Him. When I sit in His presence and my soul has been fed, then I'm lifted to that realm where He is. And I say, my love, You know. We've been brought to heavenly places. That seed in me, it's calling to eternity. It's calling to the world where I came from. I'll never be satisfied, oh, till I'm with Him by His side. And there can truly love Him. But until I'll say, oh, I love You, Lord. Oh, let's love Him together, children. Let's love Him together. Sacred to us when He comes near us this way. Can't you tell He loves that? Can't you tell He loves it when we make Him feel this way? I love yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Sing. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank You once more before we go for allowing us to come into Your great august courts. Lord, though we might differ greatly with our president and his politics, yet it would still be an honor for us to be invited to the White House to have dinner with them, to the governor's mansion, to some king of some foreign nation to see the Queen of England. Lord, people would take our picture and hit the internet. People would know us around the world. But oh, how blessed we are tonight to be invited into the presence of the King. Hallelujah. We don't disagree with Your moves. We say amen. We don't disagree with Your doctrine. We say amen. And we say long live the King. Hallelujah. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for letting us be in Your presence. May we always cherish it, Lord. May it never become common to us, Father. May it always be sacred and special to us, Lord. Thank you for this service, Lord. Go with your people now, I pray, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. What a mighty God Jesus is. Hallelujah, we worship you, Lord. You're free to go, friends, if you wish to go. Hallelujah. What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Hallelujah. Heavens and earth adore you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you need to go, we'll see you this weekend. Oh, what a mighty God. Our Jesus is. What a mighty God. I know He is.
Jesus is.
Heavens and earth.
Gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, oh, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. I'm gonna study the war no more. Said I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Gonna put on my long white robe where